it in over the line. Mikheyev couldn't get to it. Mussin down in along the boards. Puck is still free. Three of the Lightning in there trying to pry it along. Tick-tock, tick-tock. It goes to Kucherov. His pass back is out of the way. Racing after it is Egbo. He's got an empty net. Just put the damn thing in there. He does. Passing it to Mikheyev. The Leafs get an empty netter. And they are leading 4-2.
Oh, yeah. Leafs Nation post-game, Brent Gunning, Gord Stellick alongside me. The Leafs taking back a series lead, picking up the first win on the road in Tampa. Gordo, how you feeling after a Leafs win in Game 3?
You know, I'm ecstatic, jubilant. Like, I feel like a kid again. And just, you know, watching the game with a bunch of people who feel like kids again, this is such a fun Friday night. And I'm trying to remember the last time, like Montreal, when they had a 3-1 lead in games, I guess we got pumped. I don't know, because the bitterness of how it ended, I can't really remember. You know, maybe when they won Game 5 against Boston to take a 3-2 lead, you know, maybe. But no, this is, and the fact that they bent but didn't break, feel pumped. How do you feel?
That's exactly it, Gord. You nailed it. I mean, I forgot what it felt like to sit there with a tight butt, my butt cheeks clenched together because I just can't take it anymore. And as our producer was mentioning to me before we got going here, get used to it, because if you want to have a long, successful playoff run, this is what it feels like. And yeah, I kind of got that feeling of watching it again. And you're right. You know, the games against Montreal, I imagine we had some moments that felt like that, but you just don't remember it because of how it all ended. Man, you look at tonight, hanging on for dear life. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say full marks for most of that third period. You were hanging on, but that's sometimes what you have to do. So much of getting wins in the playoffs, yes, is, you know, going out and getting the win, but at the end, it's just that bend don't break mentality. And man, you know, there's so many guys individually we can pick up on here, but we have to start with Campbell. How good was he with a couple of those big stops in the third?
Yeah, and you know, first of all, to go back what you're saying, like we are an abused fan base, okay? We are an abused fan base about blowing a 3-1 lead in games, the 3-goal lead to the Boston Bruins way back when. I know it was like way back when, but that's what we live with. So imagine a 3-goal lead again dissipating. So yes, Jack Campbell, the questions about, you know, what Jack Campbell were we going to see? Would door number 3 be more like door number 1, the start of the season, or door number 2, where he was struggling before he got hurt? And it is more, door number 3 is more like door number 1. You're right. You're right about, like, it's just big saves at the right time. Something Freddie Anderson that evaded Freddie Anderson in the playoffs. And again, it's still 3 games. There's still 4 more to go. Don't get me wrong. But just, yeah. Oh. It, like we could be on for 10 hours and do a bit of a gush fest about certain people, but you're right to start with Jack Campbell, because it's, you know, Vasilevsky is viewed as the guy, as good a goaltender as in the NHL, and he deserves that. Imagine if Marner put that in. Imagine that faux pas if Marner had put that in. That's what this game, man, we're going to be lying awake. You know, that's why it's good if people are listening to this podcast, because you're going to be lying awake anyway, thinking about all those particular plays. But you're right. Jack Campbell's like gushing about your kid. It's just that, you know, the kid can do no wrong. And in this case, he really can't do any wrong.
No, man, the save he makes on the late power play that Tampa gets on a questionable penalty on Muzzin, and I'll hold my tongue on that part of it for now. But the save he makes, it's Kucherov to Stamkos through about 15 sets of legs. I know there's not that many guys on the ice, but that's how many it felt like Kucherov was able to thread the needle through. Stamkos gets every ounce of it, and Campbell just finds that in him to push across and make the big save. And, you know, especially when you're getting kind of caved in and Tampa, a team like Tampa, is just coming at you wave after wave after wave. You know, we've talked so much this year about what a guy like Ilya Labushkin scoring can do for you.
Oh, man.
When your goalie, though, makes that save like that, it wakes you up. It gives you life. And, man, you heard the soup chants there in Tampa. I can only imagine what the place would have been like if that game was back at Scotiabank.
Yeah, and apologies for talking over you, but just, you know, TJ Brody made that great setup last game. I know it was in a losing cause, but it kind of seemed, you know, that the way they finished game number two seemed to be the way they picked up in game number three. So that's a huge positive what they did. And then Labushkin soft hands. Ilya Labushkin. Like, I'm saying he should play center. He should be their first line center after that goal. The hell with playing being a stay-at-home defenseman. You know, and that's kind of like the Corey Perry goal the other night. Like somebody else coming up big. And you know the other part? Hey, I don't care. We're gonna go all. It's gonna be like we're playing ping pong. Okay, we're gonna go back and forth and all over in that. Like how appropriate Mikheyev and Engvall at the end. That,
yes.
You know the Zach Hyman types, because that was always Zach Hyman's role. You know, to shut it down, and then the unselfishness on the empty net goal. Like the two guys that have really elevated their game this year to a level that you only hoped they would get. And they're the guys out there to shut it down, you know, and anyway, let's keep gushing. You go, your turn to gush.
Oh man, I'm right there with you. You know, the Labushkin play, I have to admit, I'm sitting there going, oh, okay, he's going to hold on to the puck and wire this into Vasilevsky's chest and great. And no, he proves me wrong. He did his best TJ Brody impersonation, and Brody was doing his best Mitch Marner impersonation the other night. So anytime you have that happening, it's incredible. You know, you mentioned it's Mikheyev and Engvall, and I don't know, maybe it says a little bit more about how I feel about this team. Maybe the last 18 minutes before that were so stressful that I was finally able to relax. Normally I'd be sitting there going, just shoot it in the net. One of you, before you bobble this thing and you do the Patrick Stephan against the Oilers all those moons ago, I wasn't even worried about that. And then Mikheyev gets the other empty netter. It's just, it's incredible there. And, you know, the guy who got the second goal, he actually scored. I mean, it feels like Labushkin's goal because the pass was so nice. But it's Blackwell who gets the goal there. I loved what you got out of that fourth line tonight. Now, the lines were all over the place. You had Bunting down there towards the tail end. So, you know, I'm going to love it there. But I thought Spezza looked great, and you know, I've loved what Blackwell's given him throughout the whole series.
Well, that's why when, you know, they were talking about making changes, who's going to come in, and I'm, you know, just making the point, you and I watched the game together in the press box the other night, and you know, got, you know, Wayne Simmonds played really well. That line played really well. You know, Blackwell and Kasha played really well. And that's why when they said, oh, you take Black, I said, actually, he played really well. Simmonds, actually, if he hadn't taken those penalties, or the one in particular, played really well. And that's why they got him added in that trade. I know people that, you know, were with the New York Ranger organization talk about, you know, he brings you a different variable. It's all about bringing different variables, different, you know, different skill sets to the mix. And so I couldn't see him getting out of the lineup. And again, they found a way, because Jason Spezza is so flexible and versatile. So I like those moves. You know, I'm not going to be super hard on Justin Hall, but there was really a good breakdown on Hockey Night in Canada just about him feeling the pressure. Like, wouldn't you know, he gets the penalty, they score on the penalty, the game turns on that penalty, and Justin Hall sitting on the bench just really, really shows wearing that burden. I think we all would. Like, I mean, I don't think Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner would be thrilled. But there just sort of is something there, and that is something to take in consideration about. See, if they win this series, then the shackles are gone. Then this mm-hmm. pressure, you know, is gone. Like, that's the great part. If they win it, I believe they're going to win the Stanley Cup. And I believe a big part is because all this baggage, the worry about blowing a 3-goal lead again, that is there. And it's very real. It's very real. It's not unfair. And then all of a sudden, whether you're Justin Hall or somebody else, you can relax a lot more.
Yeah, it was a bit of a tough night for him. And the unfortunate part about being a defenseman is that when you make a mistake, we almost always notice it. You know, a forward can miss coverage on a guy or you know, Nylander. Once again, not the smartest play late in that game. But if it doesn't end up in the back of the net, we more times than not kind of let you go on it. But if you're a defenseman, we just notice it so much. And it definitely felt a little bit in that third period like Hall was feeling it. There were just plays where the puck would kind of come around the boards to him. And look, it's a pressure environment, but, you know, just little bobbles here and there. And it did feel like a guy who was kind of feeling the pressure. But like you said, Gord, get through this round. And I do think a ton of that goes away. You know, we should talk about the guys who didn't play. Obviously, so much to get to from this game. But what did you make of the decision not to dress either of the tough guys? It felt like really early on, like the first one or two shifts, Tampa was trying to run around. Then they get dinged for the couple early penalties. Leafs are up, and all of a sudden Tampa's chasing the game. And it just felt like any of that physicality that you would have lost without Simmons and Clifford, the game was just so different from that point that and not to take anything away from them, but I just didn't think you missed them tonight.
Well, and there was that kind of scrum where Auston Matthews is on and Marner's on, mm-hmm. and Montreal just seemed, it highlighted about, you know, Matthews with kind of a goofy smile on that, which he didn't have this time. And, no. and the best kind of toughness is take a 3-0 lead. Right. So yep. it's so they don't intimidate, you know, they don't intimidate that line or the skilled players with toughness. And they went out. The toughest thing was try to catch up and stay up with these guys. So I liked it. I liked it. It kind of established, it's like a first round in a heavyweight fight. You kind of feel each other out, let each other know in a boxing fight. And then I like it because it's the skill on skill. Tampa Bay didn't win the Stanley Cup because of toughness. They won it because of skill. And both sides know they have that component. And you know, it didn't make a difference, those guys being out of it. To go back, like we're talking about a Maple Leaf team in some ways when it's 3-2, hanging on by the hair of their chinny chin chin at the end. But like what a team when you mentioned Tampa Bay being physical early. Oh, by the way, big saves by Jack Campbell early. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Could have been down 1-0 in the first minute of the game. Yeah. But then after that, you know, look how the Leafs came, Brett. That's what I really liked. Because this is where the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions at home could have just said, No, you had your fun. You won game one. You're not gonna see any chance of winning this series anymore. Like that was a very realistic option. And you know, good on the Leafs that just said, we got to come at them hard. We got to pick up from where we left and left off in game number two.
No, that was exactly it. And, you know, Tampa did leave the door open just a crack by taking that early penalty. All of a sudden, Morgan Rielly, you know, pounces on the rebound there. And, man, important for a guy like him to kind of get going early on in the playoffs as well. I've loved what you've gotten out of Rielly. And then, you know, the team just continues to follow it up. You get the great play from Labushkin setting up Blackwell. Then early in the second period, you get the goal from Kampf. It felt like you were just following up. And, you know, those are the goals I lay out there. But even after the Rielly goal, it just felt like wave after wave after wave kind of coming off the Leafs bench. It didn't seem to matter who you had out there, that it was going to be a group that was going to dominate. And, you know, we so often talk about the depth, and we mean that in terms of, are you producing? Are you scoring? Are you putting up points? But tonight it just felt like, and look, Tampa was a good team. They had pushback in this game, of course, but it just felt like for long stretches of the game, no matter who the Leafs threw over the boards, they were going to at least be able to kind of hold serve. And more times than not, they were winning their shift. Like, it's incredible the depth on this team. And I think maybe the other thing that we haven't really mentioned is how well they did kind of mixing and matching tonight. You know, Keefe was really all over the place with the lines, and you got to do a bit of that on the road. And I just like the way the team responded in terms of the constant energy they brought and then doing it with tons of.
Yeah, no question. And that's something I think constructively we said last year in Montreal. Now, again, when you're behind, it's different. When you're behind, you really have to just keep putting your big, in a lot of ways, putting your big guns out there. But this one was more about holding a lead, you know, trying to minimize chances going the other way. And I like the tweaks he made. I really like that being a bench coach, I think, is even more valuable in the playoffs to kind of, you know, figure that out. And he's got a Calder Cup championship under his belt, winning it, going up the distance with the Toronto Marlies, and then last year getting some valuable NHL experience.
Yeah, it is funny. I do remember a lot of people when the Marlies won that Calder Cup, a lot of people saying, look, okay, it's a championship. You can't take that away from anybody. But he did it with a team that, you know, had easily the biggest payroll in the American League. Well, I don't think anybody's taking John Cooper's Stanley Cup rings away from him. So, you know, Keefe definitely has that expertise. He has that experience, and he's trying to figure it out now at this level. You know, a guy who was talked about so much heading into these playoffs, what will he get? Will will he finally produce? Was he too much of the whipping boy last year? Was Mitch Marner? And, you know, whatever people were saying last year, we can leave that in the rear view because there's only one conversation happening about this player right now, and it's, oh my goodness, this guy is incredible. Like, the effort you get from him on every single shift, the fact that he's an engine for your team, whether it's on the power play at 5-on-5 or shorthanded, it's just anything you could want from a player, you're getting it from Marner right now.
Okay, I cannot ever let the opportunity go by because I always, and it enrages me that it was personal against Mitch Marner. I don't know where that came from. It wasn't personal. It was about the team. He was part of the team. He was part of the problem. He was part of the dissatisfaction. But it was about the team. The last 2 years, this kind of, oh my God, the personal attacks on Mitch Marner. I mean, that pisses me off, people saying that. And Kipper and I get in arguments about that. And I go, no, they were pissed off about the team, not about Mitch Marner. So anyway, let's scrape that. Yes, 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 yes. I was so glad that end that 18-game goalless drought that he'd had in the playoffs. Him and Austin Matthews are on fire, just on fire. And probably if you're taking the Conn Smythe winner after 3 games, you'd have to consider Jack Campbell. You need more of a body of work, I understand. But you'd have to consider Jack Campbell, but it would be Mitch Marner. It would be Mitch Marner. And it's awesome.
It is. It's incredible, and I love it. That is what people think the show is like if I'm only doing it, handing out Conn Smythe trophies or at least giving front runners out after 3 games here.
I mean, just what a gush fest we can have, everyone's going to have about this game. I mean, you look at it now, and the Maple Leafs have got home ice advantage again. You play all season long for home ice advantage. It gets negated when the road team wins one of the first 2 games. That's always what they want to do. Tampa Bay did that. And now you've got it back again. So that's another component. You're trying to make the building rock at home. It was. And the kind of play at home. So you've got, if you want to say control of the basketball, Brent, kind of dribbling it a little bit. You got that possession. See these wounds. They're so raw. They had it again in game 6 against the Boston Bruins on that Easter Sunday afternoon and didn't capitalize on it. But let's just keep looking forward. Let's be positive.
Oh, Gord, it's so funny you say that because the wounds, boy, oh boy, are they in there. You mentioned that Easter Sunday game. Who got the goal to put the Leafs up on top, or at least at one point on top? It was Morgan Rielly. And that was the first thing I thought of when he scored that goal today. Austin Matthews gets stoned by Vasilevsky in the third period. All I could think of is the Matt Fratton breakaways. So hopefully they can get through this series and I don't ever have to think about this stuff ever again. Because, man, even when it's going so well like this, those are the things that are creeping into my brain here. But like you mentioned, Gord, they've finally got, or not finally, it's only been a day. They have home ice back in the series now. They pick up serve. Of course, the tough thing from here is we know the record Tampa has coming off losses in the playoffs. We know how Vasilevsky is coming off losses in the playoffs. Can you answer again for game 4 on Sunday? That's kind of the next test. But man, I don't want to pour on the parade right now. I am so jacked up after this win.
So again, to put things in context more for older people like me, not so much you, but there's the only comparable are the Boston Red Sox and Chicago Cubs. Mm-hmm. And they won from what their fan bases have had to endure. And their droughts were way longer. The Leafs did win back in 1967. But, you know, NBA, I don't know, I can't think of one. NFL is a whole different animal. But you're talking original 6 teams, and all 5 of them have won Stanley Cups since the Maple Leafs last won in 1967. And so that's kind of what we're living. So when we, you know, and that's what Red Sox and Cub fans, the Bill Buckner ball through the leg, whatever, the Steve Bartman, mm-hmm. you know, catching, whatever. That's the kind of stuff they had. And it's not like we as Leaf fans have something that much in infamy, but it is blown 3-goal leads. It is blown 3-1 series lead. So I think there's always that, you know, what do they call in the golf cart? The thing that makes sure you don't go to the inhibitor so you don't drive too fast on it. The regular, whatever it may be. Like it always seems we have to throw that thing out when we're, you know, espousing a positive opinion about 2022.
Yeah, that's right. And look, again, you're now two wins away from us no longer having to do that. You got a few games left to do it. What better time than Sunday when the series picks back up? We will have that game for you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Gordo, anything left before we wrap things up tonight? I'm just, as you said, I could talk around this game in circles forever. And actually, I'm going to throw one thing in here. I'm really proud of myself. I barely complained about that penalty on Jake Muzzin in the third period, even though it was absolutely a egregious, and it felt like the refs were trying to get the game to overtime. That's all I'm going to say on it. Gord, what anything else from you before we say goodbye today?
I do like that the officials are picking one player out when there's a scrum after, rather than, you know, yes, coincidental things. But no, I think, you know, appreciate everyone listening to this podcast, and like Brent and myself and Sam McKee, they will then you know listen to it and go have a cold shower. I mean, that's just basically what it's. I mean, this is what we need. I mean, otherwise we won't get to this. Like, is it Christmas tomorrow? Like, well, like, what is it? This is the best time of year. This is what's fun about being a fan, and this makes all the tough times for loyal Leaf fans for a night worthwhile and worth it. And hopefully there's more of that to come in subsequent playoff games.
That is that's an excellent prescription for me, at the very least. Have a cold shower after a Leafs 5-2 win. Leafs back at it, looking to take let's all say it together, looking to take a 3-1 series lead. That comes on Sunday when they are back at it. For Gord Stellick, I'm Brent Gunning. Thanks so much for listening to a Leafs winning edition of Leafs Nation Postgame here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.